Thank you, man. What's your name? Molly. Okay. Joy to the world. Good stuff. I had a little fun with first service. I was just curious how their response to that song would be. You know, you see in these movies and such, after something dramatic happens, the blink, 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 blink. But it wasn't that. They clapped like you did. They enjoyed it. Thank you, Molly. You try out on us anytime you want to. Good stuff. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. We are looking at this Christmas idea of the need of a Savior. The need of a Savior. My heart is full today as I think about all of the blessings. You know, we've just gotten through, if you will, with Thanksgiving. And I feel like, as a church, that we have really embraced that. I feel like, as a church, we have every reason to. I feel like God has done the whole... I've got an opinion about, you know, I'm a redneck, okay? I embrace that. I got a friend that hates that. Not me. Man, yeah, you need to know I'm a redneck, okay? That'll explain a lot of the stuff I do, all right? And when I want to feed my animals, I take my five-gallon bucket and I do this because it all comes out. Well, I feel like God has done that to Bethel this year. I think he's just giving it to us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb. Sunday night, if you weren't able to be there, and I know at least 40 of you weren't that were planning to because COVID or whatever the case may happen, but we honored and we celebrated 25 years of ministry with Brad and Shannon. It was awesome. We had a great time. Mandy and Brad Miller and the small army of volunteers that she's able to assemble, you guys knocked it out of the park. The improv group was hilarious. I have a video of that last part where I don't know how many of yous, but he got at least probably 10 of you up there to rant on a subject that Brad or Shannon would rant on. And again, it was hilarious. We'll show it because it's funny. And so I'm not going to try to recreate it here because I would do it disservice, but we'll watch it again at some point. But we laughed, we ate, we loved on Brad and Shannon and the family, and so it was just good stuff. And we need to do that as a church. What we just did up here, we need to do that. You know, one of the most difficult things, and you may not understand this, so I'm just going to tell it to you. One of the most difficult things to do is to tell you how you ought to treat me. That's difficult because that's not me. Lord, you and me, we'll take care of everything. I trust you. It's all good. No. The whole counsel of God. And the whole counsel of God is that God has a specific way he wants you to treat this guy, whoever he is, change his name, whatever the case may be. And please hear me, you guys do awesome. You knock it out of the park. And what you did here earlier, if y'all don't know, there's a little bit of financial blessing in each one of those cards. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. You take care of us beyond words, and I could not be more grateful. And I'm grateful on behalf of all of our staff, and I want you to know that. And so, Thanksgiving has been a wonderful experience for me, and now we're transitioning into Christmas. And this is a cliche, but I hope and pray that it's not a cliche for us, meaning that it just gets said, but it doesn't get done. You know, one of the most dangerous things is for you and I to know how to act, but not act that way. Knowing is only half the battle. Doing is the better part of the battle. And so we all know that for the Christian, Thanksgiving is not a once-a-year thing. Christmas, celebrating the birth of Christ, is not a once-a-year thing. Celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Easter, is not a once-a-year thing. It's every day. And amens rang throughout the building. Christians, hey, thank you. We ought to be excited about the fact of the opportunity to thank God for all the blessings he's given us. We ought to be excited about the birth of Christ. We ought to be excited about the resurrection of Christ. And I know you are. I do. You wouldn't be here if you weren't. And I'm so grateful for that. Before we dive in, I just want to share with you. This is just a little bit Brad even. I don't know if you heard him. Brad doesn't have a very good quiet voice. I don't know if y'all know that. But during the singing, he said, "Brother Ben, I heard that you cried at Godzilla, the movie." I did. Not once, twice. I texted the fam group, really joking with them more than anything, but truest reality. I said, "I'm crying at Godzilla." And got some responses. And then an hour later in the movie, I said, "Still crying." It was something. I'm not telling you to go to the movie. I'm telling you, I went and I was moved. Now, I'm not going to ruin it for you, if you can ruin a Godzilla movie. I'm going to tell you that what moved me was what moves me on a daily basis. And that is people humbling themselves and as a result, coming up with some answers. Church, we all need that on a daily basis. We need to humble ourselves in the situation and then as a result, come up with some answers and apply those answers and get some solutions. I never will forget the first person that told me, "Brother Ben, I don't let staff bring problems to me." Huh? No. If they bring a problem to me, they have to have at least 3 solutions ready to go. Wow. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. And because you see, the problems are always going to be there. It's the solutions that we're dying for. We're dying for solutions. And oh my goodness, church, when it comes to the solution of sin, somebody's already died for that. Amen? Amen. And Jesus is the reason for the season. Stand with me, if you would, for the reading of the reverence of God's Word, Romans chapter 3, the need of a Savior. The need of a Savior. And if you are struggling right now and think, "Oh my goodness, I know everything this guy's about to say," that may be true. The question for me, for you is, are you going to give in to that temptation to check out because you think you know what I'm about to say? And will you die to that temptation and will you say, "Lord, I'm going to hear again as if for the first time. And Lord, I'm going to seek in this sermon some solutions to the issues and problems in my life." He's going to bless you if you'll do that. Romans 3, 23. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Say that with me. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." As you're standing, one person said this in response to this, you know, Christmas season. "Are you on the naughty list?" This was the response from this person. "Dude, we're all on the naughty list. When it comes to salvation, when it comes to sin, when it comes to needing a Savior, we are all on the naughty list." Romans 7:13. "Did then that which is good become death unto me? God forbid, but sin that it might be shown to be sin by working death to me through that which is good, that through the commandment sin might become exceedingly sinful." Romans 5:12. "Therefore, as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, so death passed unto all men, for that all have sinned." James 1:13-15, "Let no man say when he's tempted, 'I am tempted of God,' for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempteth no man, but each man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. Then the lust, when it hath conceived, beareth sin, and the sin, when it is full grown, bringeth forth death." Father, we ask you to add your blessings to the reading and preaching of your holy word. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. I've mentioned this fellow's name many times, Jurrell Mitchell. Jurrell was one of the few revival preachers that we had in the Baptist Missionary Association. And so as a young person, Bo's age, maybe even younger, I was exposed to Jurrell Mitchell and his revival preaching, and I loved it. One of the reasons I loved it, I didn't know at that time that I had the spiritual gift of prophecy, which is not the ability to foretell, but in the New Testament sense, the ability to foretell, to add scripture to a situation. Jurrell Mitchell was a prophet, 100%. He had the spiritual gift of prophecy. He didn't see gray, he saw black and white. And the only knock against Jurrell was that he preached too hard. Preached too hard. Well, me, I loved that. I knew where I stood. He told me what was wrong and what was right. And the such, I get it, and I try not to preach too hard. I try to put as much honey, if you will, with the messages. But folks, sometimes you just need to be told where you're out of line. And Gerald would do that. And I was, anytime he came within driving distance, I'd go see him. And so he would come up here to Elmwood Baptist Church every year. He would come to Bethel about, I'd say, once out of every 3 years. And at one of those times at Elmwood, I'm sitting in the congregation, and he says these lines. I'm going to read it so I get it right. This is Gerald Mitchell, the guy that, as far as I'm concerned, is one of the most spiritual, not sinless, but he sins a lot less than I do type guy. This is what he said. I have monsters lurking in the caverns of my mind that I hope I never meet. And I bet I got a furrow on my face when I heard that message. I'm like, whoa, whoa, Gerald, come on now. You're my hero. You're the man I try to pattern my preaching life after. You're telling me that you have monsters lurking in your mind that you hope you never meet? And folks, he and I talked about that after, because we became friends. Whether he would say that, I'm telling you, I counted him as a friend. And church, please hear me. Do you know why that resonated with me so much? It's because Ben Kingston has monsters lurking in his mind that I hope I never meet face to face. Church, if we're honest, if we put the truth serum in, we all have to raise our hand. Guilty as charged. Fill in the blank. Whether it's lust, it'll come to me. Anger, addictions. Fill in the blank. Murder. Theft, we have monsters with these types of issues lurking in the caverns of our mind that we hope we never meet. And Gavin and I have tried to champion this idea. This is a really good way for you to help the person that you're trying to share the gospel that tells you, I'm okay. Don't you worry about me, brother. Don't you worry about me, nephew. Don't you worry about me. I'm fine. Because this whole permeation of what's true for you is not necessarily true for me has permeated our world, and it couldn't be further from the truth. Church, there is an absolute truth. And when you're trying to share, his name's Jesus, when you're trying to share the truth with your loved one and they tell you you're fine, this is your response. Well, okay, that's good to hear, but let's see if it's accurate. God forbid, do you have something in your life right now that you're struggling with that if you left yourself to those devices, they would destroy you? And the answer is yes. The answer is yes. I've told you how many times, 12, 15 years ago in that house over there, if I'd have left myself to my devices of anger, I would have destroyed my ministry here. I would have destroyed my marriage to my wife and my relationship to my kids. But hallelujah, praise the Lamb, I have a Savior. And He changed me. And He can change you and everyone in your circle as well. Point number two, the reality of a Savior. Luke chapter 2, 6 through 20. Let's turn there. Luke chapter 2, 6 through 20. This is the story. And we're going to hear this hopefully a lot. And even though, yes, I know that we're trying to secularize Christmas in our society, we're trying to remove every visage, if you will, of happy Christmas. Merry Christmas and things of that nature. The bottom line is there's still a bunch of people that want to celebrate Christmas. Praise God. We need to be in that crowd. This is the story that you may hear this week, starting at verse 6. And so it was, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. I stopped here at first service, so we'll do it here also. we're not on any level supporting Disney. I'm just using this as an analogy. I wonder sometimes if heaven's not going to be a little bit like Disney, in that in those millions and millions of years, will we be able to get on the ride of the angels declaring Jesus' birth? And will we be able to go through that, have the same shock and awe of the sky lighting up with the angels? Ooh, will we get to do that? You know, that's going to be fun. Now, watch this. Heaven's going to be heaven regardless of if that happens or not. We're not going to be disappointed in heaven, not one whit, if yours and my opinions don't come to fruition. But I'm telling you right now, that's a ride I'm going to sign up for. Look at verse 10. I may be the only one on there, but we'll see. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day into the city of David," say it, church, "a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." We talked about peace last Sunday. And it came to pass, verse 15, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. The reality of a Savior. In the sphere of your world, have the people in your world seen you react like this to your Savior? Have they seen the reality of a Savior? Have your habits changed? Have your words changed? Have your actions changed? Have the places that you go changed? Have the people that you hang around, have they changed? Church, the reality of a Savior is that people change. And we need to see this in our world. We need to see this in our sphere of our world. The story has been told. We still need to tell it. I've shared this many times, but we do have new people. It's the best analogy I have of a father sharing the gospel with his kid. You see, I can't speak for you, but one of the most foundational things for me as a man and a father was, you know, it's all well and good if Bethel grows. It's all well and good if we win hundreds, if you will, in Franklin County. But it's not all well and good if we win the county and I lose Molly, Benjamin, and Tony. That's not good. That's not acceptable. Billy Sunday was said to have been said about him, he won the world but lost his own. Church, God's not asking any of us to do that. God's not asking us to so give our lives to the kingdom of God that we neglect our own children. He's not He's got the grace for us to do both. He's got the grace for us to be an example to our world, but also win our children. And so this father had this young man, Johnny, we're going to call him. And Johnny tells the story. He's a really good preacher. And that when he was, you know, let's just say 6, 7, or 8, he was at school. And he had this little girl that he liked. And if you've ever watched the Tim Hawkins video about how little boys that age get girls' attention, they think it's the right way to go. They pick up a rock and throw them in the head, you know, hit them in the head. And I love you. No, you don't. You just give me a reason to go to the ER, you know. And so boys have trouble sometime, you know, explaining their things. So this young boy was certainly in that situation. And so he had this little girl right in front of him that's just beautifulest thing he's ever seen. And he wanted to have, you know, at 6 years old, a relationship with her type thing. And so he's pulling her ponytail to get her attention. Well, you know what she does? Teacher, Johnny's pulling my... So he gets in trouble. Well, so he thinks, okay, I can't do that. What am I going to do? How am I going to get her attention? How am I going to communicate to her that I love her? He takes his blue crayon, gets it all worked up, taps her on the shoulder. She turns around and he goes, bah! And she goes, teacher! So the teacher, and we've got a lot of teachers in here. Y'all have Johnny's in your class. Can I get an amen? Yeah, yeah, you're working with Johnny. She sends a note home to Dad. So we're at the kitchen table now, supper table, and Dad says, well, Johnny, how'd school go today? Great, Dad. Wonderful. It was awesome. Really? Yeah. No problems? Nope. Everything's good. Johnny's going to be a car salesman, apparently. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. We got any car salesmen? I'm sorry. I'm messing with you. So Dad pulls out the letter and says, Johnny, your teacher says you did this today. You know, he's had. And he says, son, please hear me. I'm giving you a pass. But you know that that's not right. You know right from wrong, Johnny. You got to control yourself, son. If this happens again, you know what's going to happen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So the next day, little Johnny has already forgot that little pep talk. And he's sitting behind this girl that he wants to get attention from. He can't pull her ponytail because that gets him in trouble. But he thinks, I know what the problem was. I used one color. So he puts blue, yellow, and green. Gets it all worked up. Taps on it. At the dinner table. Son, how was school today? It was great, Dad. Wonderful. I mean, he just stuck with it. And you know, when I first heard this story, I really didn't believe this until I had three of my own. They will stick to a lie until you pull up the surveillance camera and you see the fella, you know, hacking the cat or whatever, you know. And then they'll go, I'm telling you, Dad, that's not me. So he stuck with it until he pulled out the paper again. Babe, son, you did it again. I know, Dad, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Well, I'm sorry, son, sorry's not enough. Go to the woodshed. Johnny says in his sermon talking about this that they didn't have a woodshed, but he knew what it meant. He went out to the back of the house, and his dad came out with the paddle with holes in it. He says, assume the position, so he holds his ankles. And Johnny says it was the most unbelievable, fantastic sensation he's ever felt. Because he could hear the rising of the paddle, and then he could hear the descent of the paddle, and he heard the quap, but he felt nothing. He kept waiting for it, waiting for the recoil, you know, and he heard whap, 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 and he's like, oh my gosh, what, am I dead? Did the first one kill me? And I'm not feeling anything, what is going on? And he looks up at his dad, and his dad gets on his knee, tears coming down, because his dad had hit the heck out of his leg. 4 times. And he said, son, you're a sinner. And you've been sinning. And you need a Savior. Babe, I took your spanking for you. But I'm only doing that once. Jesus took your spanking for you on the cross. I want to know if you will accept the finished work of Christ on the cross for your sins. He got saved that night. I'm sure they talked a whole lot more than that. And that young man gave his life to Christ. He's preaching the gospel throughout the world. He's very popular. I don't know his name, but I'm watching the video in my mind type thing. He was an archer, and he did some other things with archers. Pretty cool. Talking about missing the mark. Please hear me, church. This need of a Savior is not limited to a few. It's every one of us. Doesn't matter if you're father's a Baptist preacher. Doesn't matter if you've been baptized. Have you ever, ever repented of your sins and asked Christ to forgive you of your sins, to come in your heart and be your Savior? We all have a need of a Savior. And so we just talked about the reality of a Savior. Has your life changed? Point number 3 in closing, the challenge to live like the Savior to our world. Because folks, as wonderful as that is, that's not the finished end of the story. God doesn't want to end with yours and my salvation. He wants yours and my salvation to lead to other lost men, women, boys, and girls to being saved. He wants to use your story to draw your sphere of influence to Christ. So how do we do that? How do we bring the Savior of our life to the world? Well, first of all, you pray for him. Now, I know that sounds simple, but if we went around the room and said, hopefully all of us would raise our hand that we have a quiet time, how many of us would raise our hand that we're praying for the lost people in our lives by name that they would come to know Christ? If you're doing that, hallelujah, praise the Lamb. If you're not doing it, start tomorrow. Start today. Start praying by name for the people that you know God is wants to use you to share the gospel with them. And please hear me. When you're praying, just go ahead and pray in faith. Because if you and I start talking, Brother Ben, you just don't know this person. You don't know how lost they are. I get it. Right before. It was right before. The Godzilla movie. I was coming from the Washington area. I got my stitches removed from my hand. You know what Bob Rapold said when he saw this? He said, "You went to the hospital for that?" He's such an encourager. And so, but here's the point. I'm listening to 91.5. I'm listening to a sermon. It's a book called The Wounded Tiger. Gavin, I thought of you. Gavin's such a big reader. This is a 600-page book that people have said they've read it in one setting. This is about the pilot that led Tora in Pearl Harbor. He was the head kamikaze pilot. That wasn't a kamikaze mission that day, but he was the lead pilot that bombed Pearl Harbor. He met a woman that was a missionary to Japanese people, because y'all know what happened to Japan. They were humbled. They were brought to their knees. And he met an American woman that gave up her life to minister to Japanese people. He came to know Christ. He came to know Christ. And he gave his life to sharing the gospel with Americans. He lived the rest of his life in America sharing the gospel. He's got a dear friend that is an American that spent his lifetime in Japan sharing the gospel with Japanese. And that's what the book is about. Wounded Tiger. Tora means tiger. And the Japanese, they worship, if you will, the tiger, because it's one of the strongest beasts and such. But here's the reality, church. We're not the tiger we want to think we are. We're wounded. We have a big problem. And it's called sin. And so I was hearing about that, and I thought, Lord, that is exactly what we need to do. We need to reach the very people that the devil wants us to fight with. We need to reach the people that the devil wants us to write off. People that the devil wants us to give up on. The people that the devil wants us to think aren't worthy. Like the young man that we were talking about for Awana. Church, we can't do that. So we pray for him by name. Secondly, under point number three, the challenge to live like the Savior to our world. Love them. Gerald Mitchell, if you don't got any enemies, you need to go out and get some. Because the Bible says, love your enemies. Well, I think it's safe to say most of us would say, oh yeah, I got that covered. I got some enemies. Love them. Show love to them. Now, are any of you out there, don't raise your hand, are you thinking, Lord, Brother Ben, if I do that, they'll walk all over me. I lovingly double dog dare you. See what Jesus won't do. See what Jesus won't do and love them. Lastly, under point number three, live with them. Live with them. Do life with them. Church, please hear me. The scripture is very clear. We are to separate ourselves from the world. We are not to separate ourselves from the people of the world. And amens rang throughout the building. We are to be the shining light of the gospel to the people in this world. But we're not supposed to act like them. We're not supposed to talk like them. We're not supposed to go to the places that they go type thing. We are to live with them, do life with them, love them, pray for them. Church, This body right here, not even counting first service, this body has a sphere of influence that would represent thousands of people that we have been called to win to Christ. Pray for them, love them, live with them. Now, I want to end this with a cool little situation. I looked up in my iPad what was going on this time last year. Do y'all realize that this Sunday last year, Willie Barnes was fighting for his life, and we were begging God for God to heal him. He's still alive today, still has some complications, but nothing like he was going through 12 months ago. I think we should give God credit and praise for that. And then secondly, Kamiah, I want you to hear what Tyler texted to me on this day. It was actually December the 7th. Kamiah was born on Tuesday, December the 7th at 2:39 a.m., 84 days early. She was 2 pounds, 4.3 ounces. She is as healthy as a 28-week baby can be. She's breathing on her own with a CPAP on to keep her lungs open and supplement oxygen as needed. She's in the NICU in an incubator with a feeding tube and a PICC line and monitors for everything. She's the cutest thing in the world. This is Dad talking, but she is. It's also the scariest thing in the world. Words can't put into perspective how fragile a 2-pound baby is. We want to care for and protect her, but we feel like we can't do anything. Her systems are too sensitive and underdeveloped that too much sound or touch or stimulus would hurt her. She frequently forgets to breathe, which plummets her heart rate, something that she will do for weeks because of how new her systems are. We thank God and everyone that has prayed and been there for us. We are thankful she has been gifted to us. Thankful the cerclage procedures bought us time. Thankful we made it 3 weeks after Savannah's water broke. Thankful she got 2 rounds of steroids. Thankful for a strong, healthy baby. It's been a long road, and we've got a long road ahead of us. We are exhausted in every way, but we believe if God can create the universe, he can create Kamiah. If he can create her, he can keep her safe and healthy. We trust in him fully. We may never fully understand why God wanted her, us, or you to be here, but we're so glad he does. We may never fully understand why he loves us so much as to make a way for us, but we are so glad he did. We can't thank you enough, Bethel family. Your prayers and messages of support mean so much to us. That was a year ago. Yeah, let's give the Lord a hand on that. And I don't know, she may be here today. I don't know, but Kamiah is here most Sundays. Sometimes they'll come on Sunday night. It's just easier for whatever reason. But Kamiah's doing wonderful. She's got glasses. She looks like she's ready to go to college, but she's only this big, you know. She's beautiful. And God has blessed us with families that have not had to go through that with children. They've been born healthy. Mama's healthy. Hallelujah. Speaking of that, Deacon is here. Deacon Hatfield. He's the newest of the Hatfield. Let's give the Lord a hand for that. Grandma and Grandpa are happy, and Aunt. So, again, guys, God has so blessed us. He wants us. He's asking us. And I believe he trusts us to share these blessings with other people. As the musicians will come, let's stand. I've got one more thing to share with you, but I'm going to share it with you while you stand. I know that gives you so much encouragement. Here we go. Christmas poem. Don't get so busy that you miss giving just a little kiss to the ones you love. Don't even wait a little while to give them just a little smile. A little is enough. How many people are crying? People are dying. How many people are asking for love? So don't save it all for Christmas Day. Find a way to give a little love every day. Don't save it all for Christmas Day. Find your way. How could you wait another minute? A hug is warmer if you're in it. A baby, that's a fact. And baby, that's a fact. And saying I love you always. Let me slow down. And saying I love you's always better. Seasons, reasons, they don't matter. So don't hold back. How many people in this world, so needful in this world, how many people are praying for love? So don't save it all for Christmas Day. Find a way to give a little love every day. Don't save it all for Christmas Day. find your way. Let all the children know everywhere that they go, their whole life long, let them know love. Don't save it all for Christmas Day. Find your way to give a little love every day. I lovingly challenge you to do that. Father, we thank you for every person that's gathered here today. We ask you to absolutely make this an invitation. If there's someone here and they do not know you and the free pardon of sin, I beg that they'll be saved, for it's everlasting too late. In Jesus' precious and holy name we ask it. Amen. Will you come?